To begin with this morning, let's look at John chapter 3, and we'll read verses 16 and 17. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We've been studying through the Gospel of John here recently on Sundays, and last Sunday morning we talked about the story of Nicodemus, and Jesus told him, "Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again." And then last Sunday afternoon or evening, we focused mainly on verses 14 and 15, and talked about look and live. The Bible compares the Old Testament story of how Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness and how the Son of Man must be lifted up. But if people will look to Him, they can live. And just as the cure for that death back in that Old Testament story was to look to that brazen serpent that Moses had made and that God told him to make and have people look towards it. And that brazen serpent on a pole, that's now the many times a symbol for medical things and healthcare or ambulances or that type of thing. That comes from a Bible story. That's where it all originated. And the truth is that if people will look to Jesus Christ, they can have lived. The cure for sin and the cure for death is in looking to Jesus Christ, that man may have eternal life. We're going to read this morning to begin with John chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. John chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. And then we'll look at a number of verses throughout the message if you keep your Bibles open. John chapter 3 here in verse number 16 and 17. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." I want to speak to you this morning on this important thought: no longer condemned. No longer condemned. And this is an important truth in the Bible, an important biblical truth. And I pray that you'll understand it this morning. And for some of you, I hope that you understand that when you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are no longer condemned. There may be some that 2 years ago you were condemned, but you found Christ, or Christ found you, and you got saved, and you put your faith and trust in Him as your personal Savior, and now you are no longer condemned. We had some last week in sharing the gospel out soul winning or in our services or at the nursing home that heard the gospel very plainly and made a decision to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And according to the Bible, they're no longer condemned. We are no longer condemned. Let's pray together, and I hope you'll listen very closely this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your word. I do pray that You'd use it to speak to our heart this morning. I don't have fancy words. I don't have enticing words. I'm not the best speaker, certainly, Lord. But I want to share Your word. And I pray that You'd use Your word in a powerful way to speak to our hearts this morning. That it would convict us, that it would challenge us, that it would encourage us. Whatever we need, Lord, show us what we need. If we need to be encouraged, encourage us. If we need to be convicted, convict us. If we need to make a decision, help us, Lord, to make that decision. May we be different because of Your word in this time we spend together. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. No longer condemned. No longer condemned. The Bible tells us in verse 17 again, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Jesus Christ did not come into the world the first time to judge men. That's not why Jesus came. That's not why He was born in Bethlehem and lived the life that He lived and performed the miracles that He did in those 3 years of ministry. When Jesus came to earth, His whole purpose in coming was to die on the cross and to die for sinners so that we would no longer have to be condemned. So that we could be saved, as that word says there in verse number 17. Christ didn't come to judge men. Christ did not come to condemn men. He came to be the Savior of the world. I want you to understand something this morning. It is not Jesus Christ that condemns us. It is not Jesus that condemns us. It's not Jesus that condemns us. It's our sin. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I was born a sinner. Do you know that? When I grew up, my family did not have to teach me how to do things that were wrong. I was born with a sin nature. My children were born with a sin nature. You watch them close enough, you watch them long enough, or you watch them for just a little while, you'll see that they are sinners, because that is the nature of all mankind. We are sinners. We can be dishonest. We can be selfish. We can be angry. We can hurt others. We can become jealous or envious or proud. So many things, but we are sinners. And it's not Jesus that condemns us, it's our sin that condemns us. Do you know the reason why I, many years ago, stood as guilty before a holy God? Was because I was a sinner. By nature and by choice, I was a sinner. I was a sinner, and so were you. I've sinned hundreds and thousands of times in my life. And all of us have. All of us have. In my sin, I stand condemned. In my sin, I stand condemned. We got some cards here printed recently that they're a bit unusual, and you might think they're strange, but I got some cards back there on the table just as other things we could use to pass out from time to time to invite people to church. And it says something about being the imperfect church. So in case you didn't know it, you're part of the imperfect church. And on the back of there, there's some little quotes or little sayings and so on. And one of those little sayings on the back there is this: counting other people's sins does not make you a saint. Counting other people's sins does not make you a saint. Boy, and we don't want to stand here as a church or be a people that we've always got our finger pointed at others and we're counting their sins, or we're looking at their sins, or we're condemning them for their sins. Because you know what? It's not my job to condemn anybody. And the truth is, when we understand the scriptures, it's not even Christ that condemns us. Our sin condemns us itself. You know, we don't necessarily need anybody to point the finger and condemn us. Christ did not come to condemn us. Christ came to save us from our sin. Christ came to forgive us of our sin. And I'm sure thankful he did. In my sin, I would stand condemned before God. But because I am now in Christ Jesus, I am no longer condemned. We're going to look at some scriptures. And so if you can, if you're familiar with the Bible, turn with me over a little bit to the book of Romans. If you still have your Bible open to the Gospel of John, you'll find next to that the book of Acts. And then the book of Romans. The book of Romans. And look at what it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 to 3. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 to 3. And this is an important verse. The book of Romans is an important book doctrinally. It teaches us so much about salvation. And here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 to 3, it says this: there is therefore now no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And that's the key statement there. It says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless, holy Son of God, who left heaven and came down to earth and did live a sinless life. He became like men in that he took on the form of man. He took on the flesh of man, but he lived a perfect, sinless life. When tempted, he would not give in. He did not sin. And when Jesus went to that cross, when he was crucified on that cross, it wasn't for anything wrong that he had ever done. Remember what Pilate said? I find no fault in him. So when Jesus went to the cross, it wasn't for his wrong or for his crimes or for his sins. It was for mine. He went to the cross for my sins and for yours. He came and died so that we would no longer have to be condemned by our sin. And it says the key thought in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I'm glad I'm in Christ Jesus. It's through Jesus Christ that I'm forgiven. It's through Jesus Christ that I'm redeemed. It's through Jesus Christ that I am no longer found guilty. Why? It's because Jesus Christ paid my ransom. He paid my ransom. You say, your ransom? What do you mean by that? Well, I was in trouble. I was in trouble. I was a debtor. I was in sin. I lived a sinful life, and I needed a Savior. I was in bondage. I was kidnapped by sin, if you will. I was a slave to sin, and Jesus paid my ransom. Notice what the Bible says in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45. If you're not there yet or not close, let me read it for you. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. It says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto." He didn't come, you know, as here I am, I'm king, everybody minister to me, everybody serve me. No, he came and he ministered. He came to serve. And notice what the Bible says. And to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ gave his life, dying on the cross, giving his life for you and for me to pay the ransom. It's as if, you know, sin held us captive. And there would be no way for us to be set free, no way of escape except for a ransom note to be paid. And Jesus paid that ransom by giving his life, by dying on the cross for our sins. I was a captive of sin, and a ransom had to be paid in order for me to be released, in order for me to be set free, in order for me to be free from the guilt and stain of all my sins. And Jesus became my ransom. God sent his Son into this sinful world. God sent the perfect, sinless Son of God into the world, and he died for imperfect people. The perfect one died for the imperfect ones. He died for sinful people like you and me. Go back to the Gospel of John, and you know the verse, many of you would, but what does it say in John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The wonderful truth is that we don't have to be condemned. We don't have to face God's judgment. We don't have to be punished in the lake of fire for all eternity. Why? Because Christ was already judged for my sins on the cross of Calvary. He was already judged for my sins on the cross so that I don't have to be judged one day if I put my faith in Christ. He's the substitute. He became sin for us. And if I will trust in the substitute, I will put my faith in Jesus Christ. I won't have to face God's judgment one day. Why? Because I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm no longer condemned. John 3 again in verse number 17, John 3 and verse 17, I love what this verse tells us. It says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I want you to turn with me over, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, further in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 7. Look with me there at Hebrews chapter number 7. And I want us to read verses 25 to 27. Hebrews chapter 7 and verses 25 to 27. The Bible says this, "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him." By Jesus it's referring to. "Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy and harmless and undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself." Jesus Christ, he offered up himself. He became the sacrifice for sins. It's not necessary for animal sacrifices to be made any longer like the Jews did in the Old Testament. Why? Because Jesus became that animal sacrifice. He became the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. He was judged on the cross, not for anything that he did, but for my sins, for our sins. Notice what the Bible says over another page, Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 28. Hebrews 9 and verse 28, it says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. How does salvation come? It comes through faith in Jesus Christ. It comes through putting our faith in the one who became sin for us. The one who died on the cross for us. In the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 21, it talks about Jesus Christ who knew no sin. And the Bible says he became sin for us. It's an amazing thought and sometimes maybe even hard to comprehend, but the perfect one, the sinless one, he became sin for us. He took all of our sins upon himself when he was on the cross. And he was dying there for you. He was dying there for me. He was dying for all the wicked things, for all the ungodly things that I have ever done, for all the ungodly things, for all the sinful things that any man has ever done. He died for sinners. He died for you and he died for me. Listen, in my sins, I stand condemned. But when I'm in Christ Jesus, I am no longer condemned. Isn't that wonderful? If you are in Christ Jesus today, you are no longer condemned. That is awesome. If you're not in Christ Jesus, can I answer this question? How do we get in Christ? How do we get in Christ? Listen, it certainly will not be by our works. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Romans, chapter number 3. The book of Romans, about the middle of your New Testament. Romans, chapter number 3. We'll look there in just a moment. How do we get in Christ? It's certainly not by our works. Because the truth is that even me, on my very best day, I'm still a sinner. This is Mother's Day. I hope to be on my best behavior today. I hope to be nice to my wife all day long. But I'm a sinner. If I at some point get a little grumpy attitude or act a little selfish, you know why? It's because I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. On my best day, I'm still a sinner. So I have no hope without Christ. If it was just up to me, I would be condemned because I'm a sinner. Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 3. And I want us to read verses 10. Read from verses 10 down further. Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You might say, wait a minute, not me. Okay, I'm not me saying it. It's the Bible saying it. It's God saying it. And he tells us that there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none of us that does good all the time. None of us. Notice what it says, verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Do you know why we have the Ten Commandments? Do you know why we have a Bible that really is full of hundreds, truthfully, hundreds of commands from God for this is what he wants for his people, or this is how we ought to live, or this is what pleases the Lord? The Bible teaches us in the New Testament, especially in Galatians, that listen, the law was never given so that people could live up to it and keep it perfectly. Are we supposed to please God? Of course we are. But the law wasn't given for man to keep it perfectly because God knew that we were sinners. He gave us the law, like Romans just said there, so that we would become guilty before God. So we would understand our guiltiness. So that every mouth could be stopped, so that none of us would have anything to boast in or any reason to say, hey, look at me, look at how good I am, look at me, I'll be with God, I'll go to heaven. No, none of us can get to heaven by our own good works. I'm condemned. I'm guilty in my sins. But through Christ, I can be forgiven of my sins. Through Christ, I am no longer condemned. How was it that I got in Christ Jesus? It was by faith. It was by faith. On June 24th, 1981, I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ to be my personal Savior. That's the day that I look in my life as the point when I was born again. And you know what? A person can make that decision anywhere. For me, it was in my bedroom. For me, I was a young child, and my older brother shared the gospel with me. He told me the story of Jesus Christ, and I'd heard it many times before. But that was a night that I, as a boy, was feeling conviction. That was a night that I did want to be saved. I was ready to be saved. And I've told some of you the story before. He tried to send me to go talk to my dad about it. Well, go talk to dad. You want to be saved? Go talk to dad about it. And as I left my room to go across the hallway to my dad's room, my mom was down in the kitchen and she saw me out of my room and she said, "You know, Brian, what are you doing? Get back to bed. I'm trying to get saved and my mom is sending me back to bed." But mother's intuition, she knew something was going on. My mom told me this probably when I was about 21 years old. She didn't tell me that ever before. She always let me have my own memories of that night. When I was about 21, she finally told me that night she knew something was going on, and she came up the hallway and she sat outside our bedroom door and listened to the rest of the story. And listened to the conversation that took place and listened to my older brother, teenage brother, as he, you know, helped me understand the gospel. And we knelt beside my bed that night. And I prayed from my lips and I just called on Jesus Christ. I confessed that I was a sinner. Told God I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. And I prayed and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and to forgive my sins and to save me. For me, it was a night in a bedroom. For some, it's been maybe sitting here in this church where you maybe called on the Lord Jesus Christ and you trust Him as your Savior. Maybe for some of you, it was at home. Maybe it was in a Sunday school class. Maybe it was somebody that met you. I don't know where it was, but I hope you have a time in your life when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because listen, the reason why I'm in Christ today is because of faith. It's not because I grew up in a Christian home. I could grow up in a Christian home and still be lost. I'm saved today. I'm in Christ Jesus today because of a time when I decided to put my faith in Jesus Christ. And I trusted Him as my personal Savior. And it's so important that you have that settled in your heart. If you still have your Bible open to Romans 3, I want you to look on a bit further to the following verses. Romans 3, we'll read verses 21 to 28. Remember how we said, you know, it's very clear that by the law is simply the knowledge of sin and we're not going to be justified by our flesh or by our works. But now notice what it says beginning in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. It's completely seen. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Christ Jesus unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. He was the payment for our sin. He was the substitute for our sin. He was what satisfied and appeased the justice and holiness of God. Now it says, who God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness and that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. There's no room for it. Where is boasting then? Nada. No boasting. There's nothing to boast in when we're all sinners. There's nothing to boast in when one can try to say, well, you know, I'm a good person and I've gone to church all my life and I've done all these things. I don't care what you've done or who you are or how you grew up. Listen, you have to put your faith in Christ. And when we understand that salvation is by grace and it's through faith, we have nothing to boast in and of ourselves. says, by what law? Of works? Nay, no, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude, verse 28, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We're not saved by our deeds. We're not saved by our works. How did I get in Christ? I got in Christ by faith. And the only way to get in Christ is by grace, through faith, because God loved me. That's the only way. Again, what did the Bible say back in John chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17? What did Jesus do for us? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God loved me and gave his Son to pay the ransom so that I could be set free from my sin. You know, Satan may tempt us to sin, and Satan may want us to go to hell with him one day. But when a sinner puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, hell loses and heaven wins. Hell loses and heaven wins. Just in the last maybe week or so with our family, some of our devotions had to do with some judgments in the Bible. And we read in Revelation where the Bible talks about, truth is, hell, the lake of fire wasn't prepared for us. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But the Bible teaches that sinners, if they do not trust Christ, they are condemned, and sadly they will be separated from God. They will face the judgment of sin. And Satan may love to try to win. He may love to try to keep us from God. But when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, there's nothing he can do about it. I am no longer condemned. I am in Christ Jesus, and I cannot go to hell. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm a child of God. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. Listen, why in the world would anyone not want to be saved? Listen, I've tried to tell you plainly this morning how we can be in Christ Jesus and we can be saved and we don't have to die for our sins. We don't have to face the punishment for our sins. I've tried to tell you how we can be in Christ, and it's through our faith. But I want to answer this question, and why in the world would anyone not want to be saved? And I think the Bible gives us the answer there. If you have your Bible, look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and notice verses 18 to 20. John chapter 3 and verses 18, 19 and 20. Listen good. A few more moments, listen closely. John chapter 3 and verse 18 to 20. Why in the world would anyone not want to be saved? Why is it that some people proclaim themselves to be atheists and try to deny God and reject Jesus Christ? You know what? John 3, 18 to 20 is the answer for that. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You know, it seems that some people would rather live in darkness than light. Some people would rather just live in their sin. Some people don't want to have to accept that there is a God. Some people don't want to have to accept that there's a God, there's a creator, there's somebody that I'm going to give account to, there's somebody that I have to answer to. They would rather just be their own God. Rather than having to submit to the God, they'd rather be the own God, their own God in their life. Isn't that what Satan or Lucifer did? He wanted to make himself higher than God. He wanted to exalt himself. Didn't Satan tempt Eve in the Garden of Eden, telling her, "Ye shall be as gods"? Ye shall be as gods. We got to beware that we are not one who says, you know what, I want to be the God in my life. I want to be in charge of my own life. I just want, you know, I'm not going to believe in him, or I'm not going to accept that because I want my own way. What a sad and tragic thing it would be for people to say, well, you know what, I'm not going to believe him because I'm just going to believe in me. You know what? I'm not going to follow him because I just want to follow me. Fine, go ahead. God gives us a free will. He gives us a choice. You can live it up and you can be the God of your own life for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 years, however long God gives you. That's a mighty short time compared to all eternity. Boy, I would far rather be willing to believe in God and trust God and submit myself to God, accept God in my life, and let him be in charge of my life for however many years he gives me here on earth, and then get to spend all of eternity in the glories of heaven with him. It's a foolish thing when somebody says, oh, I kind of want to do my own thing. I'm not going to believe in that. Many people you'll meet in society are courteous or nice when you try talking to them about Christ, but occasionally you might meet the person who's kind of grumpy or upset. I remember last summer, I don't remember who I was with, but we met somebody, and boy, a lady just came out. Could have been a lady, could have been a man, could have been anybody, but in this case, it was a lady that just came storming out of her place and just came and just kind of wanted to yell at me, and you take this stuff, and blah, blah. You know what? She sure wasn't happy living her own life. She wasn't happy in her rejecting of God. She was one of the most miserable people I've ever met. You know what? If a person just wants to say, I reject God, I reject Jesus, that's rather short-sighted. It's rather short-sighted. God loves us. And God, even though he knows we are sinners, God, even though he knows that we have sinned against him and we act as his enemies, as sinners, we don't live as we ought, we break his laws, we break his commands, there's still a God in heaven that loves us beyond that. He loves us in our sinfulness. And he sent his son to die for us to save us from our sins. He doesn't want us to be condemned. If you have ever got the idea somehow that, you know, Jesus Christ came down to earth and he is some preacher who's there to condemn everybody for their sins and don't do this and don't do that. No, that's not true. Yes, God has laws and God is holy and God is righteous and he wants us to live righteous and holy. But that's not that's really not what he was about. He didn't come to condemn us for our sins. He came to save us from our sins. He came to die on the cross for you and me so that us who are sinners could be forgiven of our sin. So that we could become the children of God. So we could have a home in heaven. So we could have eternal life. If we'd be willing to accept his gift of salvation. Salvation comes by grace through faith. You know what? Through Christ Jesus, you don't have to be condemned. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are no longer condemned. Do you want to stand before God at the judgment one day, having to pay the punishment and face the fiddler, take the punishment for your own sins? Or wouldn't you like to just get it taken care of now? If you'll trust in Jesus, you won't have to face the judgment. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are no longer condemned. Why don't you get Christ in your life and you get in Christ Jesus? Put your faith in Christ if you've never done that. Admit you're a sinner. Believe that he died on the cross. Believe that he's the Son of God. Trust in him and him alone. He is the only way of salvation. There is none other. You can be saved. You can be forgiven. Christ did not come to condemn you or me. He came to save you and me. And that's why he died on the cross. To prove his love. To be the ransom for our sins. To pay the penalty so we could be set free. Because I'm in Christ, I'm no longer condemned. And I hope that you're in Christ. I want you to know that you're in Christ Jesus and your sins are forgiven. The penalty's been paid by him. And you're on your way to heaven. I want you to have that same assurance that I have.